Chapter 2. When I woke, I realized my rescuer didn't know my name. I introduced myself, and he told me his name was Montgomery. I needed fresh air, and he helped me dress in borrowed clothes. My clothes had been destroyed by the rough sea air and been thrown away. I was shaky on my feet, but it was good to stand up. Montgomery opened the cabin door. It wasn't a gust of fresh air that greeted me, but the smell of animals, urine, and dirty straw. I stepped back a little, then stepped back again when I saw a man standing at the bottom of the stairs. I had seen him before, on the night I was rescued, but his appearance was still shocking the second time around. He was misshapen, short and broad, with a crooked back. His neck was hairy, and the hair on his head was rough and black. When he turned around, I was shocked to see his black face. When he smiled, I saw his huge, white teeth. Though he seemed friendly, his bloodshot eyes terrified me. I had never seen such a man, and I was frightened. "Get out the way, why don't you?" Montgomery said as he pushed the creature aside. He moved aside without a word, but looked sadly at Montgomery. "This is not your place," Montgomery sighed. "Your place is at the front, helping the sailors." "The sailors won't have me," the creature muttered. "Won't have you? But I told you to go," Montgomery shouted angrily. I heard this conversation as I climbed the ladder. As I was coming out onto the deck, Montgomery followed behind. The deck was so dirty. I saw boxes and crates full of animals everywhere I looked. I saw a hutch of rabbits, a llama, and even a puma in a cage. There were several hounds who were chained to the wall. The air was tense. I'd come up for a breath of fresh air and to feel alive, but the atmosphere was full of misery all around me. The animals made noises, and the sailors were upset and annoyed. They didn't trust Montgomery, the black-faced creature, and me. The black-faced man went back down the steps. "What are they for?" I asked Montgomery, pointing at the animals. "Are they being sent to some sort of zoo? Are they for sale? Will the captain sell them somewhere in the South Seas?" But Montgomery didn't answer me. We heard footsteps coming up the ladder behind us, along with shouts and then some dirty swearing. The black-faced man came out onto the deck, holding the back of his head and making crying noises. Behind him was the captain. I knew he was the captain because of the clothes he wore. He had red hair and a spotty face. It was clear that he was drunk as he moved from side to side while walking. He stumbled over the black-faced man and gave him a harsh kick. The hounds started to bark and pull at their chains. They were desperate to break free and attack the captain. "Look here, this won't do," Montgomery said to the captain. But the captain wasn't listening. He walked back and forth across the deck, shaking his head. My ship was a clean, respectable ship. My crew was a clean, respectable crew. "Look at it now." "This won't do," Montgomery repeated, pointing at the black-faced creature. "This man is a passenger on your ship. You can't hit a passenger." "I'll do what I like on my ship," said Captain Davies. "You have no right. It's my ship. I'll do what I want." I could see Montgomery was getting increasingly frustrated with the captain, but the captain would not change his mind. "Look, there's no point," I whispered to Montgomery. "The man is clearly drunk, so he won't listen to you. Don't waste your energy. He's always drunk." "It makes no difference," Montgomery replied. "Do you think it is okay for him to hurt passengers just because he is drunk?" It looked like the argument would soon turn into a fight. I stepped between them. Apparently, seeing me for the first time, Captain Davies looked me up and down. He shook his head unhappily. "My ship, just look, you agreed to take the animals," Montgomery shouted angrily. "The deal was agreed. I wish I'd never set eyes on that island, nor you, nor your blasted animals, nor that man of yours, that lunatic, whoever he is," the captain said mysteriously. "And that blasted creature you brought with you," he said this, looking at the black-faced creature. The captain walked towards him, shouting and using such foul language as I'd never heard in my life. "That's enough," Montgomery stepped in, pulling the captain away from the black-faced man. "It's your ship, but this is not your man. You can't treat him so." "I'll do what I like," the captain said angrily. I stepped between the captain and Montgomery, forcing the two apart. "He's drunk." "Leave it," I said to Montgomery. Then I turned to the captain. I could smell the alcohol on his breath. I looked him in the eye and said, "Shut up." Instantly, I regretted it. Who was I? I was just someone that this captain had allowed to come onto his ship when I had nowhere else to go. I had no money to pay my way or right to be on the ship, and I completely depended on them for food and safety. So, who was I to tell this man to shut up? He shouted at me then, but at least, I had avoided a fight. It was evening. The captain had returned to his quarters and had not been seen for hours. Several sailors had disappeared below, so Montgomery and I were almost alone as it was getting dark, and the stars started to shine. The sailor at the helm shouted when he saw land. I tried to see far away and saw a small island in the distance. I'd expected to see the lights of a port or town, but there was nothing. The sunlight soon faded, and so did our view of the island. However, we were on course. "We'll be there by morning," Montgomery said in a serious way. We stood silently for a while, and then he began questioning me about London. I had lived there before taking this unlucky trip which had resulted in my almost dying. Montgomery asked about people and places he knew in London, but I knew nothing about most of them. Montgomery said that it had been over 10 years since he had been in London. A lot of what he wanted to know was now in the past. Montgomery called himself an exile. I wondered what he had done that had caused him to leave London. It sounded like he wanted to return to where he had been born, but it had been many years, and he had never been back. It was a series of chance events that led to the whole thing. There was nothing in it at all, he said mysteriously, but he would say nothing more about it. I thought about everything that had happened to me in recent days. I wondered what would happen to me in the days ahead. In the morning, we would reach the island. Montgomery would leave with his strange collection of animals. Emling, which I had learned was the name of the black-faced man, would also go with Montgomery. "If I may say it," I said, breaking the silence, "sir, you saved my life." Before I said it, I knew Montgomery would deny it. I knew he was not sentimental, so his reply did not surprise me. "Chance, just chance," said Montgomery. "But all the same, thank you," I said. "Thank no one. You needed help, and I was able to help. There was nothing to it. We could have easily passed you by, and I could have let you get worse. But I was bored, and I decided to look after you. That's all," Montgomery said without feeling in his voice. "Still, thanks must be, it was pure chance, I tell you," he said. I said what I wanted to say and said no more. We stood again in silence, but soon, he returned to the topic of London. "Oh, to be sent away from your home, all because of just 10 minutes. I was just a young medical student. That's all I was," he seemed to want to say more but stopped himself. I quickly realized that perhaps Montgomery was without a friend who he could talk to. The strange man, Emling, didn't seem capable of meaningful conversation. I'd already seen how Montgomery got on with the captain. Perhaps he needed someone to talk honestly with. "If you wish to tell me your story, Montgomery," I said carefully, "you may have my promise of privacy." "I won't tell anyone." I wasn't being curious. I just didn't care to find out why he had to leave London. I wasn't gossiping. Instead, I thought it would help ease this troubled man's burden. "No, no point to it," Montgomery shook his head. "There is nothing to say. I'm thinking of going to bed. Are you finished with this?" He pointed to the water, with moonlight gently touching the tip of each wave. We returned to our cabins, where I slept badly, worried about tomorrow and all the days after.